Welcome to the show, Talking with Liderian Live, featuring the hottest guests in talk radio. You are bound to learn something new every week, so stay tuned, settle back, and relax as we explore the depths of human knowledge. And now, here's your host, Liderian.
Hello, everyone. Hello. This is going to be a great show today. I'm hoping everyone is all tuned in and ready. Today, I'm going to have a guest with us today by the name of Minister Dargan. Those of you that have been looking on Facebook, you probably saw the Facebook posting. And so he's here today. First of all, I want to apologize for last week. The guest that we were supposed to have last week, something had happened to her. I believe she took ill. And she was not able to make the show last week. But however, Minister Dargan is here today. And we are going to be talking on Christians at War. Okay? And so I'm going to bring on Minister Dargan. Minister Dargan.
How are you today?
I am fine. I'm fine. I'm so glad that you're here today.
Glad to be here.
Good, good. Now, I know that we have spoken many times before the show, and I know you had showed interest and was excited about the show as well as I was, and so let's get started with the Christianity. Is that fine?
That's fine. Ready to go?
Okay. Good. Okay. Just in case everyone does not know, Minister Dargan is a born again Christian, and we're going to discuss what brought him actually back to Christianity and what is it to live as a Christian, okay? So, Minister Dargan?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we all going to want to know, what brought you back to Christianity first? But first, tell us, what exactly is a Christian?
Okay, well, first of all, a Christian is, just by definition, you know, Jesus Christ, we know of Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who lives for and serves Jesus Christ. And
okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much the definition of a Christian. There are a lot of people who carry the name, but in our reality, the term refers to one who actually follows and serves him.
I say, is there a certain criteria in order to follow him?
Well, the criteria to be a Christian, a true Christian, is first of all to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life. That is identifying with his sacrifice of dying for the sins of humanity, and also being willing to turn away from those things that he identifies as being sinful. That's pretty much the criteria. There's more involved, but those are the basic bottom line criteria.
Okay. And so if no one has never heard of Jesus Christ, why, what would intrigue us about him that we would need to follow him?
Well, God deals with people in different ways when it comes to how he brings them to him.
Okay.
How he causes people to take notice of him. My job, though, is to tell anyone whenever I have the opportunity, if there's anyone who wants to know or if there's anyone who expresses interest or really, even if not, you know, my job is to at least try to tell them about Jesus Christ, because with the realization that as far as the Christian belief is knows, he is the way, the one way to God. So that the job of the Christian is to just take the shot and try to tell people about it, and he kind of guides you through how you might do that, depending on who you're talking to.
So what makes him the only way to God? Because there's so many other gods, so why is he the only God?
Right, and that's a great question, and I know that there are many people out there who have that question. Why is he the only way? And My best way of answering that is this. If there is a God, all right, if he's out there, did he leave something for us so that we can find him? Did he give us a rock solid way to locate who he is? And I'll tell you that the answer is yes, and that is in the Bible.
Okay.
The Bible is very, very underestimated, but if anyone would take the opportunity to really look and look for things that would identify God, they'd be amazed at what they can find. So, and according to this book, which is very, very intricately done, very cleverly done, according to this book, the one way to God is Jesus Christ. So the thing is, when you've got all these religions in the world and they're coming at you from every angle, there are so many, you know. So it's a good question to ask. How can you know for sure, right? So
right.
To answer that question, you just have to take a shot, look, listen to what is being taught about Christianity, and give it a try, you know. That's pretty much the best way I can put it, because I know that people are trying many things out there. But try this and give it a shot and see if the things that Jesus taught actually hold any water. Also look for the clues in the Bible, and that's pretty much the best way I can tell you, someone who's just starting out.
Okay. Ashe, you mentioned Jesus leaving something with us.
Yes.
What did he leave exactly?
Okay.
I mean, if you can't name everything, it's fine. Just give me two things that he has left.
Okay. I'll say what has God left. First of all, when it comes to Jesus, you know, the Old Testament is like an address. You know, if I wanted to find out where you live, I would need to have your address, and that address would, if I was somewhere else in the world, I'd need to know that you were in the United States, that you were in California, that you were in Hollywood, and I'd need to know the street address and number to where you are. If I want to get down to detail, I need to know exactly which room you're in your house, right?
Okay.
That would tell me where to find you. Well, what's happening in the Old Testament is there's an address all throughout the Bible which really points out who Jesus is, okay?
Okay.
So it may not seem like it on the surface, but when you dig down and you look into it, you realize that all these things that were written in the Bible, in the Old Testament, point to him, and there's nobody else who fits the description. So those are the clues. Those are the clues that I'm referring to, things that identify Jesus Christ thousands of years before he ever showed up.
Okay. Okay, well, the show topic is Christians at War. And for those that are just now coming in, Aboye Abaru means hello. Okay, the question that I have, Christians at War. To me, a Christian is supposed to be a sheep. Now, if you think about a sheep will just let you do anything to it. It doesn't fight back. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how is a Christian at war?
Okay, that's a great question. I think that's a really good question.
Here's
how it works, okay? When it comes to the Word of God, the Word of the Bible, it looks at Christianity from different perspectives. On the one hand, you see Christians as sheep. Okay, and as sheep, there is a docile way that we are. On the other hand, you have parables in the Bible and people speaking in that form, which refers to Christians as soldiers in the army. So the trick here is you have to look at it in those different instances. On one hand, it's a soldier. On another hand, we are sheep. On another hand, we are the temple of God. And there are other examples that kind of go from here to there. So as sheep, it's just talking about how our attitude should be towards God and how our attitude should be as far as how I am to you. I shouldn't come at you with a harmful way to hurt you physically. Although somebody might perceive me that way because a lot of times things that we say is identified as hate speech, you know? And
right.
And it is true that some people pretty much are doing just that, but most of what we do when we're speaking about what is sin, what is righteousness, it's not for hate. It's actually for love, because according to the Bible, there are consequences to sin. So as sheep, we come. We don't mean you any harm. We're only there to help, and we serve God. But as soldiers, we fight against the true enemy of humanity, which is Satan, according to the Bible. So there's just two aspects of looking at Christians.
Okay, because as I can understand, to war is to fight. And mm-hmm. in war, people die.
Mm-hmm.
Now, didn't he give us, I guess it was in one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not kill, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're warring and you're killing, isn't that going against the grain? Or how does that work?
Well, okay. Now, I'm going to try to answer that question simply as I can. But there are things in the Bible that God lays out that it takes, really takes time to really, really understand it. But here's the thing. When, according to the Bible, when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden and Adam sinned, death entered in. Sin entered in. And from that, all sorts of sins came on top of that. You have various sins that just were introduced into humanity, and they grew from that. And according to the Word of God, sin is death. Now, when death came in, confusion came in, when sin came in, every type of confusion and everything came in with it. So it automatically pitted us and caused us to come into a state to where war is imminent. It's going to be here. It's in the world. But then the other question someone might ask is, well, what about the people of Israel? Because when God delivered them out of Egypt, they went to war. They went to, God told them to go to war, and they had to take care of some things. Well, God was carrying it, because God is not only loving, but he is a judge, okay? And as a judge, there were people in the land who were very, very wicked, okay? They did all sorts of really, really evil things, and God wanted to start anew with his people. So he sent them in, and they went in, and they took everything out of there, okay, and started off anew. So all of the bottom line with this is that it starts with sin. Sin in the world causes death in all of its form, whether it be war, sickness, disease, what have you. Sin is what causes it. If it wasn't for that, then we wouldn't have any war. If it wasn't for turning against God, then we wouldn't have any of these things going on at all. So God works with what we give him, and he has to work in the midst of what has been laid before him, because sin has entered in.
Okay, and I'm going to ask this question, and after you answer that, I'm going to go on a quick break to allow you to tell us about your book that you have written, okay?
Okay, right now?
Now, as I see, yes, God anointed David to kill Goliath, if I can understand. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so how does someone get the anointing to kill somebody? Because even though it may have been a certain situation, he said not to kill. Yet, mm-hmm. God is anointing, giving people a power, giving people the anointing mm-hmm. to kill. So that's just like me going outside saying, you know what, I don't like this person, he's evil. God, give me the power. I'm getting ready to kill him. And then he dies. So what is that?
Well, that is actually, okay, when you look at that and you're saying, how does he get the power give someone the anointing to kill, you have to understand what was going on. All right, Goliath.
Okay.
Goliath and his people were the enemy of God. They came there to come against God's people or against the ways of God, and they came. He came directly against Israel. You know, they came to do battle against Israel. So that's different. That's even like today. You might have a person who's a Christian, and they're in the military. You know,
okay.
And if you're in the military and you go to war and you're a Christian, that does not doom you, okay, because their armies are necessary because of the state of things. Military, all of that stuff is necessary because of the state of things, but his commandment is for you going out there and you're just killing somebody. There's also a place in the Bible where, in the Old Testament, where it talks about if someone comes in to steal from you, but they get caught in the act of stealing, and they are killed, that their blood is on their own hand, okay, because they were doing that thing that caused them to get killed, okay? But just going out there and finding your neighbor, someone who you're at peace with, and just killing them, that's what that's all about.
Okay,
war is one thing, armies are one thing. Just going out and killing your neighbor, that's another thing altogether.
Okay. Thank you for answering that question, Minister Darkin. Right now I'm going to go on a break, and as I go on break, I would like for you to tell us about your new book that just came out. Okay. Could you go ahead and do that for me?
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
I say.
The book that I've written is called The Tabernacle Series. It's actually there's actually a series of books that are being written, but the first book is available, and the Tabernacle series is simply deals with the first place of worship that was set up by Moses after he delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt. It was the place of worship that was set up. Well, this place of worship is also one of those keys I was telling you about. It's one of those things that tied Jesus Christ. It tells you his address. It's very, very detailed, and it points out the identity of the one who would come and later fulfill it. So it's very, very detailed, and it's going to really open up the eyes of anybody who wants to see it. It's evidence in the Bible. You know, the tabernacle is really important means of, you know, answering the question. Is God real? Is Jesus real? You know, and this is because of the extreme attention to the details that was required in order for God to ensure that everything regarding his construction lines up perfectly with all that was to be later fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And this is one of the reasons why I say that you can look at the Bible and you can find your answers, because it's things like the tabernacle that show you that, man, God was really slick with this thing. You know, he really put it down, because even today, you've got some people in Israel who still don't know that Jesus is the Messiah. And so basically what they've done, they overlook these very things. So it's right under their noses. But if you just look up the meaning of the word, then you're like, wow, there he is. If they just take the chance to look. So it's all really amazing, and it serves as strong evidence of the existence of God. And that's why I believe that anyone who really wants to see who he is should purchase the book.
Okay,
so
I say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And those of you that are listening, you can go to my Facebook page, and on my Facebook page I will be raffling off 5 books. So make sure you are there, okay, so that you can be a part of the raffle. You have to be on my friends list, okay, on the Facebook. If you're not on my friends list, then you will not be able to participate in this raffle. So go ahead, quickly add me if you have to. I will be giving away 5 books at the end of the day, okay? All right, so I'm going to go back to talking about Christian at War. And so what I'm getting out of this is, when he said, thou shalt not kill, he meant was, unless it's for a reason. I mean, is that what it is? Unless it's for a reason.
No. No, it's thou shalt. If I would paraphrase it, I would say thou shalt not kill your neighbor. Don't kill someone that's at peace with you. If you're in battle, you have to. I mean, if you're in war, that's part of war. So we can't add to or take away from what that's saying. But he's definitely talking to his people about his people. That's why you see things like love your neighbor as yourself. That's one of the other commandments is. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's talking about your neighbor. It's talking about the people that are with you. Now,
okay.
Now that was something of the Old Testament, and
okay.
it still has its application for today. But now Christians are, you know, because of the Old Testament, God had to introduce it some kind of way. So he started with the people of Israel. But now since Jesus has come on the scene. Now we have Christians that are all over the world in every nation. And much of what you see in the Old Testament is really it's a parable, if you will. It's a parable. It is a shadow of what God was really wanting to say. There are some things in there that seem one way, may not be easily understood, but in order to bring us to a point to where we were ready. The world was ready to receive Jesus Christ. There's some things that had to be set into place that might seem like, well, I don't understand how that works. But if you look it up and you search out these words, you search out the things that God said, then you'll find out that it's actually a perfect fit. It's just that under the law brings death. And it shows you that sin is death. And the letter is tough. It's like, no grace, really much grace is not there. But when Jesus came, he brought grace. He fulfills it in completeness. And as a result of that, we have grace now, and it's extended to all of the world, anyone who will receive it. So the commandment to kill, not to kill, you know, to kill in war, take those people, take them out, you know, clean the land because it's your land, I've given it to you. And then you have it where he says, thou shalt not kill. He's saying, look, these are your neighbors. Don't go around killing each other. So that's just that's the law. Again, you have to remember that the reason why death is in the world in the first place is because of sin. That's the bottom line. I mean, there's so many ways that we can see it. We can look at it this way and that way. You know, one thing I found to be absolutely true is that when it comes to debates, for example, when there's a debate, you can twist that thing any way you want to. I mean, you can twist it this way and twist it that way, but there's a truth in there somewhere. There is the truth, a truth, in the midst of all of that. You know, we got this thing to where that's your truth, but not my truth. You know, that might be what you believe, but that doesn't mean that's my truth. And that's how people are going about things right now. But the bottom line is there is a truth in there somewhere. And if you want to find it, I've got to tell you, there's nothing like the Bible at all. It is so intricate. It is so amazing if you look down into it. And there are things in it that are very much like much more complicated than, let's say, you know how during... For example, war, which is we're talking about war, when they would use letters which had some type of code in it, it's saying one thing, but you see a bunch of letters and then you got to figure out which letters, how the sequences of the letters, so you can find out what it's really saying underneath it.
Right.
Well, God did that in the Bible. He did that in the Bible, but he maintained a storyline. Okay, he wrote out the Bible. I mean, he used men to do it. But underneath the surface of the Bible, he maintained a very intricate pattern, a very amazing pattern at the same time, which indicates that he is God, you know. And so there's some things we may not totally understand about what is about why it is that he had war, and yet here he says, "Thou shalt not kill." But the bottom line is, sin, death is in the world because sin is in the world. But still, when it comes to God and how we should behave as Christians, we shall not kill. But if somebody walks into my house to hurt me and my family, I got every right to take them out of here before they take my family out. And that's in the Word of God.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Is the devil evil?
Is he what? Is he evil?
Yes. If the devil is Satan, Lucifer, mm-hmm. whatever they call him, is he evil?
Yes. Yes, very much so. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Now, is God also the devil?
Is God also the devil?
Yeah,
no.
is that a bad part of him, or is that just...
Why do you? I mean, I'm trying to get what you're saying when you ask.
Well, that because
question.
You know, there's always they say there's a bad part of a person. There's the good person and there's the bad person. Okay, so mm-hmm. is God the loving person, and then is the devil God in the bad way, or is that how it works?
No, I don't see that at all. I mean, as far as when you're talking about two different people, there's God and then there's the devil. And there's nothing alike about it, you know. The devil is evil. God is good.
The devil
wants to destroy, you know, and that's all he wants. But God, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundant.
Okay, so in all of us, there is a bad part of all of us. And I'm sure in life, you weren't always loving. I'm sure there's a part of you that got, you know, outside of that realm of love, you know, because that's the way in everyone. Like, for example, yeah, I can show you love. If you get on my bad side, that's not good for you.
Well,
and
you know,
so is God that way as well?
No,
God
is not like us. Yes, when it comes to us, we have the ability to slip up, you know, especially. Now, me, there was a time when I was definitely not where I am right now. I didn't have the mindset that I have right now. And I did things that were definitely evil. Even today, if I'm not careful, I can still slip up, which is why it's so great to have Jesus. Because as long as I say, "Lord, I messed up, I'm repenting of that, will you forgive me and help me not to repeat that?" He's faithful and just to forgive me of that. Now, that's us. We slip up like that, okay? But God, it's not like he doesn't have that weakness at all. There's
okay.
there's no darkness in him. There's no sin in him. So no, that doesn't even apply as far as he is concerned. That's just us because we're here on this earth. We're in the flesh. And we have Satan in the midst of us, and we have the fall because of the effects of the fall, and because there is sin in the world, we have to deal with that. You know, we've got things going on. We have to deal with it. We got to live around that. I got things coming at me all the time that seek to cause me to go the other way. You know what I mean? There's always a temptation there. So, but it's up to me to rely upon what God is teaching me in his word so that I keep it straight, you know?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
and I believe this is chapter 45, and I believe it's verse 7. He says something around these words, "I form the light and create darkness." Then he goes in and then he says, "I make peace and I create evil." He says, "I, the Lord, do all of these things." Explain that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because if he's creating evil and he's creating peace, then he's created the devil to do what he does. And so he's creating all of this stuff. This is him, according to what this is. Or this is what I'm saying. Can you better explain that?
Well, what God has done, when God created his angels, when he created us, he gave us the option to choose. We all have the option to choose right or wrong, good or evil. Now, by building into us, his angels, us all, the ability to choose, he created both good and evil. Okay? Now, if we didn't have the ability to choose, we would be mindless robots. That's all we would be, just robots. Okay? But he gave us choice. When he created Satan, Satan had choice. When he created us, we all have choice. So because we have choice, we can choose either good and evil. Because we have choice, we can choose either light or darkness. Okay, so that's what's going on with that. The fact that he gave us a truly free mind to choose is the reason why, you know, he created both good and evil. You know, so that's pretty much the how that works out. I mean, he did create them both, but he created them both because we can choose.
Okay, so in my understanding, sickness is an evil thing. It's from hell, which I understand. Anything that's not the love of God is from hell. Like I said, mm-hmm. sickness and cancer and all that kind of stuff is supposed to be from the pits of hell. And so,
well, it's a result of the fall. It's a result of
who?
Of the fall. It's a result
of
sin.
Okay.
It's a result of sin being in the world. It's the curse of sin in the world that brings that all about.
Okay. And so there was a Christian young lady that I've known. I really cared about her a lot. She passed away of cancer. That kind of hurt pretty bad when she died. Mm-hmm. And so what part of her did she say, I choose to have cancer and die? Because God created evil, he created that cancer. So I'm sure she didn't say, well, it's perfect to have cancer, I'll just go ahead and die now. I mean, I couldn't see somebody saying that unless their mind was tore up, you know.
Right, of course, you know. Of course not. I mean, I'll even give you myself as an example. I mean, you know, I love God and everything, okay? But I was hit by a drunk driver. I'm in a wheelchair, right? I was hit by a drunk driver. I'm in a wheelchair. And that's definitely not something I want either, right? I don't want to be in a wheelchair. But because I understand certain things, I understand that sin is in the world. That's why that drunk driver was able to take me out. Okay, the enemy is able to use, Satan is able to use people. Drunk, you get drunk, all types of, you know, you let loose things. You know, they don't call it spirits for nothing. You know, alcohol, I think they call it spirits. I think they did a good job of calling it that because it releases them, you know. And as a result, again, it always goes back to that. Sin is in the world. So these things are in the world, and we got to work in the midst of it. Now, I know she's a Christian person, and she was a Christian person, and she's dealing with, and she had to deal with that, and she died with that going on, and she didn't want to do that. And there's a lot of people who are dying various ways. But these are things that Jesus even himself spoke of. He said that there'll be various things going on, various persecutions, various afflictions in the world. Paul even said that sickness, Christians, for various reasons, you know, we go through, we endure various things. He spoke of sicknesses being on Christians because of they allow certain things to come in. I'm not saying that's the case with her, because that's not the case with me. Just like Job, if you read the book of Job in the Bible said God spoke of Job and said, called him a perfect and upright man. But Satan was there, and Satan said, well, he's only serving you because, you know, You got this hedge of protection around him, and we can't get to him or anything. So God said, well, go ahead, give him a shot, try him out. Well, Satan went in there, took out his family, took everything from him, destroyed everything just to see if he would come against God. But he would not. And in the end, God did return things unto you. But there's a lot of times that Christians don't pass that test. And again, I'm not saying that's her case. sometimes it's a matter of not us not understanding. Because even today, I see people who are being healed and delivered, and God is setting people free. But for one reason or another, he doesn't do it right away. Or maybe we don't understand certain things, or we haven't got to a certain place, or there might be a person who is a man of God who's trying to bring about that healing, but he's messed up himself, or he's not where he should be, and so he's not able to bring it forth. Or it might be in a plan of God, he's waiting for a specific thing to go by, such as in Job's case. He was letting Job be tried to let it be seen what would happen in Job's life. So that very example of Job's life would be something that we could look at as Christians today and go, okay, I have to believe him, and I have to trust him. Job actually also said, though you slay me, yet will I trust. He said, no matter what, you know, I'm going to trust God because I believe him. And the thing that brings that about, for a person to continue trusting God, even though they may be sick, even though they may even die in the sickness, because I've seen a lot of Christians die in their sickness. But the thing that gives them what they need is the knowledge, okay, when I leave here, I'm going to be in heaven. I'm not going to be in this situation where sin is in the world, but I'm going to be with the Lord. And that's the thing that we have to look for, and that's the reason why I'm able to sit here. I'm in this wheelchair, but I know based upon all that I've seen, based upon all that God has allowed me to see, there is no way I'd be a fool to turn away from him, knowing what I know. See, having seen what I've seen, because you know what? This thing that we call life is just a blink of an eye compared to eternity. Okay, so according to the Bible, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Okay? And what we have here, this life is nothing by comparison. So I think I'm going to do my best to go to heaven, you know. And there's some things that, you know, God even says in his word, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, my thoughts are high, as far above your thoughts as the heavens are above the earth, which means that there are things that we're not going to always understand about him. But what we do need to understand, and what we have to focus in on, is what he showed us in Jesus Christ. He showed us through Jesus Christ what true love is. He showed us who he is, because sin brings death, as I said, and that's why Jesus died. Sin brings the judgment of death, so that's why Jesus was judged. Somebody who hadn't done any sin at all. Somebody who could have actually easily gotten out of being crucified. Because when they asked him about why the people were accusing him of the things that they were, well, he could have easily spoken up and gotten out of it. But instead, he kept his mouth closed, and he didn't even try to defend himself, because he was determined to provide us with a way back to God through himself. Okay, so on the one end, you see that God is a God of love, which was demonstrated through Jesus Christ. On the other end, you see that God is a God of judgment and justice, because sin is death, and it leads to death. And because of sin, all of these things are in the world. It's who he is. He's a God of judgment, and he's a God of love. Kind of like a judge in the courtroom. You get a judge in the courtroom, and you know, and he doesn't uphold the law, then he's a corrupt judge. He's not a good judge. Okay, and God is the same way. He has spoken that it is so, and it is so. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay. I certainly appreciate that the time is sure passing by, okay. And we only have 9 minutes or so left, and so there's some questions I want to ask, but before I do ask those questions, I want to say thank you once again for being willing to do the show, because this is the first time I can actually say I have been able to have conversation with a Christian and not feel some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate you not being what I like to call bull-minded, stubborn-minded. You know how a bull is. They are very stubborn. And
right.
I come across Christians that are that exact same way. But you're not
right.
like that. And I really appreciate that. And for those of you that may have just started listening, please go to Facebook and request me as a friend so that you can be in the raffle for the book, okay? So I'm going to be giving away 5 books today, okay? And Minister Dargan, is there something you'd like to say before I ask you these questions?
No, go ahead. Just continue on. It's fine.
Okay, good. Okay, what brought you back to Christianity?
Well, the thing that brought me back, there was a time that I went away from it, you know. But what brought me back to it was my family. You know, I was brought up as a Christian. There was a time that I went away, especially after meeting all these people in the military of different various beliefs, you know. It kind of made me question that. But my family came around, and when I had all these people in my house, I was sort of convicted, you know. They made me feel bad, and it eventually led to going back to Christianity. But after I came back, of course, I had to do research and verify some things, and that's what I did. But that's what got me back to Christianity.
Okay, great. Once you got back to God, I guess I would say, once you became a Christian again, I guess you became a soldier. Did you become a soldier right away for God, or what happened with that? When did you become a soldier for God?
Well, becoming a born again Christian, a soldier, so in the army, is like enlisting into the military. You know, you're in it, but you don't yet have the skills to fight. You know, you got to go through boot camp. You know, you got to be trained. You're already there, but you're what you call you're unlearned when you come in. So you enlist when you come in. You are a soldier when you come in. You are at the same time what you call a babe in Christ. You're a spiritual babe. You're not mature.
Okay.
So you have to learn. So you're in there, but you're not ready to fight yet. You got to go through some training.
Okay. And what is the training like? I mean, what is that experience as relates to God?
Well, training is really about learning what the Word of God says.
Okay.
It's about learning to submit to God and actively resist the devil. And learning what righteousness is and what sin is. You know, it's about learning all of these things. All these things qualify as training, and you keep coming to the church as you learn what is sin, and you change your mind. You have a change of mind. You have a change of heart. You do things differently according to what God would say and according to what Jesus has identified. And that's your training. That's your boot camp. And as you learn, you grow. And you learn how to be more successful as you go on.
Okay, and how do you resist the devil?
Well, resisting the devil, okay, that now, these are deep matters, and I got to tell you, we don't have a whole lot of time to do this. But these are deep matters. But when it comes to resisting the devil, that simply means, okay, once you learn what sin is, don't let him trick you into doing it. Okay?
Okay.
That's what resisting the devil means. I know that we kind of have this thing of who think of him as a figment of our imagination, but he's not. You know, he is real. He's the real deal. And when you start resisting him, the person really puts it in their heart and their mind to resist him, and they really do it, it'll become very clear that he is real. So it's a matter of resisting that, even in your not in the things you do, but even in your dreams. You know, you can show up in there also, and you need to learn how to even resist those things. And once you do that, it requires a lot of using the name of Jesus too. So,
okay,
yeah, that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Okay, cool. So let me ask you this last question.
Mm-hmm.
What evidence did Jesus give you to show that he is real?
Okay, the evidence that Jesus showed me to show that show that he's real. Now, this is another one of those questions that are kind of deep. Okay, because
right.
you know how it is. We want the hard evidence, and I've kind of showed you that. I've talked to you about that. And you know, Christians, we usually talk about how God delivered me, and we talk about how he showed himself through his love. But, you know, the rest of the folks can't really get with that, you know. You're like, wait a minute, man, that's not anything. You know, that's the way people see it. But for those, since that's not going to work, the best thing I can say for those who haven't experienced them for themselves, and I would definitely advise someone to find a good, you know, church to do so. But the big best evidence is just in all the things that are in the Word that are hidden under the surface that I was talking about. You know, that's what he showed me in his Bible. Just seeing, I'm like, wow, look at this. This is slick. You know, I know that nobody could have thought of this. I know that no one could have thought of that. So that's the first thing coming with the Bible. But in addition to that, now this is going a little on the other side, a little deep. I've seen the power of his name. You know, you hearing them saying there's power in the name of Jesus, you know? Well, I've seen it. I know that this is true. I've seen when I've used his name, I've seen spirits manifest, or people, demonic spirits manifest and things like that. And I know that this is going to be over somebody's head. I know that. If you read the Bible,
uh-huh.
And you can find stories in there of people having demonic spirits. It's still going on. So I've seen that power. I've seen people delivered from these things. I've seen a person suffering from schizophrenic mind, from a mindset.
Oh.
Suddenly go be totally free of that because we've used the power of the name of Jesus. So, you know, there's a lot of ways I can come at that. And some of it you might understand, some you won't, because you kind of have to experience it to see it. But for other than the spiritual side, get the book, for one thing. I say get the book, read it, and you kind of get some examples of evidence, hard evidence in the Bible that it was always about Jesus anyway. And also, I would there's a website I would advise you go to called Theomatics.com. That's a really good one. And it shows some evidence in the Bible of God's handiwork. So those are some things that I can see. There's more. There's evidence really in science and everything of God's handiwork. But the thing is, we have to be willing to see it. Got to be willing. If you're not willing, I can tell you, I can show you everything I want to, and you still won't receive it. So it's a matter of being willing to look at it.
Okay, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know I did say that was going to be the last question, but what advice would you give to someone that may be trying to go that Christian route?
Well, my advice to someone who's trying to go that Christian route, first of all, is talk to God about it. You know, I say challenge him. You know, say, Lord, if you're real, I mean, if you really want to do it, you really want to, if you're serious now, you can't be joking here. But if you're serious, ask him, you know, if you're real, show yourself to me. You know, I mean, if you're real, help me, lead me to the right person. But also, you need to go to a church. Not all churches are created equal, but go to a church where they really believe God and learn. Learn, look in the Bible, read the Bible, see what it says, and you'll see that it's not made. You'll see, if you read it, you'll see that how everything falls together. It's not made up stuff. This is true historical stuff, you know? So I would advise reading the Bible, looking for a good Bible-believing church, and really talk to God. Say, Lord, if you're real, if you're really who you are, and if I really need you to be saved, help me to find you. And I believe that he will.
Okay, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Minister Dargan, time has spent, and it's almost about that time to get off air here. But I want to say thank you for coming on the show today, because this was a great show that I believe. And it's been a learning experience since I've been speaking with you. Like I said, I spoke with you before the show and learned a lot of things from you. which is good, because I'm always willing to learn. And so I thank you for that as well. And once again, to all those that are listening, please go to my Facebook page, Liderian. That's all it says, Liderian Ogun, Liderian Ogun, Ogun. Please send me a friend's request so that I can accept you, so that you can be in the tonight's drawing. I will be giving away 5 books, which Mr. Isaac Darden has written himself. Okay, please get there and try to get into the raffle. If you're not signed on my Facebook page, I'm sorry, if you're not my friend, you will not be able to be a part of that drawing. So make sure you get there, send me a friend's request, and then I can add you in. Okay? Well, Minister Dargan,
yes.
I'm gonna close out with you. Is there anything you'd like to say for this last 3 minutes?
Yes, I would also like to just let it be known that, hey, if there's anyone out there who is interested in learning more about the Bible and about this even this book, you can go to the website. My website is called thetabernacleseries.com. That is thetabernacleseries.com. Go there and just it's a lot of really good information there. And if you subscribe, there's even a free book in it for you, and you get a lot of good information come out of that. You can even correspond with me at the at that website, and I'd love to hear from you. If you really want to know, you know, I think I could do a lot to help you out. And thank you for just giving me the opportunity to share today on this subject.
I say. And you can find that information of Minister Dargan on my Facebook page as well. But you can also go to LiderianEntertainment.org, where you can also find the same information. So there's no excuse. You can't say you didn't know what the website address was, when all you have to do is go to my website. Okay? So everybody get there. Get the information that you need to get. Make sure you get on Facebook so you can get the book. And you will be on your way. I've actually started reading some of his books, and they're very intriguing. So, and you know me, I don't like to read that much. And so if I'm reading it, it must be good. So make sure you get there and read it, okay? All right, well, I'm going to end this show, but thanks again, Minister Dargan, for coming on tonight. And I know that we will be hearing from you soon again.
Sure thing. No, not a problem. And you're so very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. I say bye-bye.
Join us again next week at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio Station 2. We encourage you to visit our website at www.liderianentertainment.org. Thank you for listening.